This is Suit Up Sports.
Suit Up Sports.
Where opinions are as sharp as a tailored suit. No fluff, no gimmicks, just unfiltered, hard-hitting takes on sports and a whole lot more. It's time to suit up. Now here's your host, DJ the Suit Stout.
Welcome to Suit Up Sports. I'm DJ the Suit Stout, along with Frank Garcia. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy.
Happy St. Patty's Day. We're both wearing our green, which we had to remind each other to do so because we both would have totally forgot.
And I didn't want him pinching me.
Ditto. But last night, we got the brackets released. NCAA March Madness coming off, a really good ACC tournament and SEC tournament where Florida took care of business in the SEC tournament. And then Duke, even with their best player, probably player of the year, Cooper Flagg out and Brown out, they still managed to take care of business against Carolina and withheld a heck of a comeback by Carolina, by the way, that had every Duke fan a little nervous with about a minute left.
And, well, I mean, we can start, with that recap, but there's so many storylines to cover,
yep.
From the ACC tournament to the SEC tournament,
yep.
Which was probably the battle royale. They get 14 teams in.
14.
Historically, the record. And I know that there's a lot more teams now in the conferences now than there used to be. There only used to be 14 teams, but now with the addition of some of the other colleges that are in those conferences, it makes it a little bit more, the reason why that there's a little bit more teams. But anyways, there's so many stories to talk about. College basketball was great this weekend.
Great games. And look, Carolina, because a lot of people were wondering, even after Carolina gave it their all, they barely lost to Duke. Duke goes on to win the ACC championship. And everyone last night were waiting for the brackets to come out to see if Carolina got in. And you had so many people that had good reasoning as to why they wouldn't get in. And then you had people that had good reasoning as to why they did get in. And the brackets come out. And sure enough, they're in the playoff game.
Well, it came down after listening to the committee kind of speak on this, DJ, it really kind of came down to one game. And it's kind of funny how, the chips fall or the cookie crumbles sometimes, and it came down to that Memphis UAB game. If UAB would have beat Memphis, they would have taken the seed because Memphis was already in.
Yep.
UAB would have taken that, and Carolina had been the first out. So, Carolina fans, you can be thanking Memphis right now for getting you into that conference. But I think we all agree that if it came down to, some of these other schools that had a chance to get there, the brand name Carolina was going to play a factor into that. And I think that there's a lot of other factors that could have also played into that, which I'm sure we'll get into, when it comes to the committee.
Well, a lot of people were hanging on that quad one victory. And listen, and that hasn't been around that long, right? So I think people are still trying to get acclimated as to what means what. I do know that when you put all the things that people look together, that Carolina still is the net 36th best team in the country when you bring in the K-Pom and all those things. And so I thought they would get in after they played Duke so well. And after they beat Wake Forest, I kind of thought that might have been between Wake and Carolina, whoever won probably had a shot at getting in. But at the end of the day, Carolina played one of the toughest, I think top three toughest schedules in the country. They did come up short against a lot of the top 5 to 10 teams in the country. But especially at the end of the year, they started playing really good basketball. And to play as well as they did against Duke. And again, I know Duke didn't have Cooper Flagg and I know they didn't have Brown and I get all that, but to come back from such a big deficit at halftime, I think they earned their way in. Now they got a lot of work to do, right? They got to be in Dayton, Ohio on Wednesday against San Diego State. San Diego State is not a bad basketball team. Yep. So that's going to be a heck of a basketball game.
They got some tournament experience.
Yep.
They have a good coach, and, it should be a heck of a game. But I do think the Carolina, to your point, DJ, is playing much better basketball now.
Yep.
I still think that as good as they're playing, as well as they're playing now, I still don't think that they're one of the top 10 teams in this tournament, top 15, maybe even top 20. Doesn't mean they can't compete with them and they're not going to give them a close game, but it came really down to beating Duke or at least giving them an opportunity. It was a couple of free throws. And the first free throw,
a lane violation.
The first free throw was the miss.
Yeah.
So the second free throw, they had substituted, to bring the young man out from the bench to come into the lane to get a rebound to keep the ball alive, a little bit bigger body. And he tried to dink the Duke players and stepped across the line. And I know a lot of people were upset about that. And, oh, you can't call that for that. I said, well, it's really simple, right? There's no difference between that and a ball or a player stepping out of bounds. It's the same thing. There's a line of demarcation. They know what they can't do. And, the kid stepped across. And, I think it was really honorable of Hubert Davis to have his arm around him to support him after the game because, the kid's not out there trying to screw it up. And, everybody was looking at point shaving and fixing, numbers. And, is this game, are they on the take and things like that?
Yeah, he's funny with the internet.
He's a 19, 20-year-old kid that made a mistake and was trying to make a play. Yeah, and I think that's really what it came down to.
And it's good to see him get off the hook on this because, again, you're right. All he was trying to do was make a play. It was probably one of the worst lane violations you could see. So when people were trying to make excuses, I'm like, listen, I feel bad for the kid too, but it was about as clear as a lane violation as you're going to see. Okay. But I am glad that isn't something now that he's going to be remembered at, especially after last year when he took those three pointers in the NCAA tournament that a lot of Carolina fans blamed him for the loss there. So good for him. His dad was a great player at UNC Charlotte. So I always root for the kid and now Carolina's in, and we'll start off with the South bracket. We're going to go through each bracket and not only go through some of the big games, but also our picks. But Auburn gets the overall number one seed in the tournament. And I know that both of us have a problem with that.
Well, I think the problem becomes is that the way that they started the season wasn't the way that they ended the season. And, they play in, arguably, or maybe not even arguably, the toughest league in America. They got 14 teams in. So it was like Big East back in the day. It was like the ACC when you had multiple teams in there. And the SEC was a gauntlet. And they got put out. They've gotten beat multiple times. They have five losses.
They lost two of the last three.
They've lost two of their last
Granted,
three games.
To Tennessee and Alabama, okay. But still.
Tennessee and Alabama. They lost to those two teams, and those are very good teams, but they lost. And they didn't win their tournament. And that's, to me, the biggest indictment is why an argument of why they shouldn't be the number one overall. I do believe they should still be a number one. And
I agree.
And really, when we're arguing this, and making the point with this, I don't know if it ultimately matters other than just the pride and being wanting to be the number one overall. But the number one team in the country at the end of the year is not the number one team in the bracket, and they won their tournament.
Exactly.
And, and that's Duke.
You got to play
in Florida, and Florida has a huge argument for being the number one seed in the country as well.
I agree. I mean, I think Duke and Florida both have an argument. I mean, Duke did beat Auburn earlier. Duke won their conference championship as well as their conference, did it without their best player. Florida also has beaten Auburn, also won their conference tournament, has four losses on the year.
One less loss, won the conference championship.
We both agree that Florida probably is the best team in the country.
They're playing the best right now.
To me, they've got the best argument. They won the conference that Auburn was in, beat Auburn at Auburn, and then just beat Tennessee in their conference championship.
So I guess my question would be, if I was a reporter asking the committee, what are your metrics? How do you determine who the number one overall seed is? And again, when you come down to it, it really, you're going to have to beat everybody you play, right? And I don't know if, they wanted Duke traveling. Maybe that's the reason why over to the South, to play in that division or that tournament, that bracket, where the games would be played. And I believe in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Duke now is playing in Raleigh.
Yeah. And so I think if we're going to sit there and argue the logistics of it and the metrics of it, in my mind, the number one overall team in the country is Duke. The number two team should have been Florida. The number three team, I could say Auburn. I would be okay with that. And then the number four team, I think, should be Houston. But the three of the four teams won their conferences, and Auburn was the only one that didn't, but yet they received the number one overall seed.
Yeah, I agree. And at the end of the day, like you said, you're going to have to go through all these teams anyway. So,
and I think, when you look at, the other brackets, Florida, I think, would rather be in Raleigh. I think Duke would rather be in Raleigh than having to travel to Louisville or Lexington or wherever the South is going to play their games. You're going to have a lot more home court advantages, playing, here in your backyard versus, having to travel. So I'm not too upset about it other than just the, I guess, the little bit of bragging rights that we could say. But, you know, the expectations, you know, maybe it's a little chip that can give them a little chip on their shoulder. And I think, and maybe the big reason, and you know, I don't think about this, but maybe the big reason why, and, you know, I don't know how much of this factored into it, but if you're just going on, you know, what they did, strength, all the things that factor into it, not having Cooper Flagg at full strength may have factored into that slightly, but still, it's not an argument of why Florida shouldn't be above Auburn.
Yeah, and you're right, because I think that Flagg being injured and questionable, even though Duke did tell the committee this morning that Flagg's going to be ready to roll, but I do think you're probably right, and I can understand that, but Florida, to me, there's no excuse. I mean, they deserve to be the number one overall seed, but again, they have to go through each other anyway, and they beat
everybody they played, I think, by double digits.
Yeah, they
scored against Tennessee, who is the KenPom top five, you know, team ranked in defense, and they're a tenacious defense. They scored 86 points on them. 86 points on them.
Yep.
So, I mean, Florida right now is playing as well as anybody in the country, and I'm telling you that they, you know, that's the team that I don't want to face unless it's in the finals.
I agree. So Auburn starts off with Creighton. Creighton's a tough team as well, so that'll be a fun game to watch. Creighton will have to get by. Excuse me, I'm saying Creighton because that's who I picked to beat Louisville. So let's not say that's the case, but you got Auburn, and then underneath them, Louisville and Creighton were the 8-9. Michigan against UC San Diego, the 5-12. You got A&M, Texas A&M against Yale is a 4-13. Then you've got the number 16, Mississippi, who will take on the winner of the play-in game between San Diego State and Carolina. We talked about that a little bit ago. Mississippi coming from the tough SEC. Obviously, they've been battle-tested, 22-11 on the year, and Carolina will have their hands full if they get by San Diego State, which, again, we both agree that that's not going to be an easy matchup. Then you've got Iowa State at number 3 against Lipscomb at number 14. Iowa State, who we both also agree is one of the best teams in the country, but injuries keep getting them, and their best player went down again in their conference tournament. He's not definitely out, but even if he does play, he's been fighting injuries again and again.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think you're weighing a lot more into that than I am, because I agree that in basketball, one player is going to have, you know, the ability to have a little bit more impact, but that's not the reason why Iowa State's there at number 3. Right, Iowa State has a good basketball team without their best player in there. It's the same. It may be not as good as Duke is, but when you lose Cooper Flagg and you still go out there and win the ACC tournament, I mean, that tells you the depth and the quality of the other players on the team. So I don't want to dismiss Iowa State. Well, when it comes to, you know, them, especially since they're playing Lipscomb.
But I'm not dismissing them against Lipscomb. I don't think the injury is going to hurt them against Lipscomb. I think the injury is going to hurt them further down the road. Because if you take any team's best player, we just talked about Flagg with Duke, and look, they won the ACC championship. But if you were to take a broom off of Auburn, or you take any team's best player, they may get by the first round. And listen, he might be remarkably, you know, healed in the next 2 weeks. You never know. But right now, it hurt them. And look, guess what? They could play Carolina in the second round if Carolina gets by Mississippi. Either way, they're going to have a tough matchup in the second round.
Carolina has to get by San Diego State first.
No question. And then they'd have to get by Mississippi. Either way, Iowa State's going to have a tough matchup in the second round, and not being fully healthy, not saying they won't win that game. I just think that it does hurt them. Then you got the 7-10 Marquette, New Mexico, and then the 2-15 Michigan State versus Bryant. So in the South region, Auburn is pretty clearly the best team. There's not a team in that bracket that scares me until you get to Michigan State.
And I don't, how long is the kid out for Iowa State? Is he out for the rest of the
season? He's probably going to try to play.
I know he had a sprained ankle or something, you know, something similar to the
Super Flag. He's going to try to play, but he's been banged up for a while.
Yeah.
It's kind of coming back and again and again and again.
So it's a repeat injury. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, when you get the adrenaline going and you're playing for all the marbles, you know, I think things can change a little bit and the pain tolerance goes up and your pain threshold goes up. And, you know, those things, you know, can be a little bit different. If he's injured and obviously can't move and be explosive off it, that's one thing. But if it's just something that he has to kind of fight through with the pain, then, you know, that's a whole different another story. But Michigan State, I think, is another team in that division that, you know, that can really make some noise. Obviously, they're the 2 seed. You know, everybody's daunting the SEC, and how many times have we seen, you know, throughout the NCAA tournaments when, you know, the Big East or the ACC, you know, I can go back a couple of times, you know, when the ACC, was the dominant conference, and everybody was talking about how good they are and how many teams they had ranked in the top 15, and you know how they should just kind of roll through, and it's going to be an ACC dominant to Final Four type of thing. And they kind of peter out, you know, really early.
Yep.
And some of these other teams, you know, come through. And I think over the last couple of years, we're not seeing as many as the upsets as we were, you know, before, you know, this combining of the super conferences. And I think the other factor that goes into that is, you know, now these teams can use their NIL money to go recruit and bring guys in. So we're not seeing the bigger upsets, or we didn't see many last year, and it'll be interesting to see what they are this year.
Who do you have coming out of the South in the Elite Eight? So we won't give the Final Four away yet, but who do you have as the two teams?
Battling? We're doing the Elite Eight. I have Auburn playing A&M.
Yep.
I have Iowa State playing Michigan State.
And then who you got winning those two games?
I have Michigan State beating Iowa State. And then I have Auburn. So I have chalk. I have chalk in that top bracket in the South.
I've got Auburn, beating Creighton, and then Michigan instead of Texas A&M. And then I have Carolina winning the play-in game, and I've got them beating Mississippi, and I've got them beating Iowa State. And the only reason I'm saying it is because Carolina's played arguably the toughest schedule in the country, and has lost a lot of close games to really good teams. They're playing better now than they did when they played those good teams. And I just worry about the Iowa State injury. Before the injury, I would say I think Iowa State has as good of a chance to win the whole thing as anybody. But I'm going to go with Carolina, but I'm going to have Michigan State beat Carolina. So I'll have Auburn playing Michigan State to get into the Final Four.
I think my problem with Carolina has been, I think it'll still continue to be the reason why they get knocked out, is because they don't have much scoring off the bench. And other than RJ Davis, coming and when he's lighting up, he's as good as anybody, but they haven't really found that other score that they're looking for. So if they go through a slump, they play a team that slows the game down, they figure out a way to, match up with, RJ Davis and slow him down, where are they going to get their other scoring? I think that would be my number one reason why I think Carolina, to me, it's great that they got in. I'm not mad at that. I know a lot of people may be upset about that, but I think we both were realistic fans about this. We're realistic, commentators on this and saying it's Carolina. I mean, they have a great chance. Not to mention Bubba Cunningham is on the committee that picking the team. So yeah,
that's been
he's the head of the committee
as well,
right? So I think that they may beat San Diego State, but I think that their run ends with Mississippi.
All right, well, let's move down to the West and find out who will have playing either Auburn or Michigan State. And you start off with Florida. We've just talked about them. Both of us think that they're probably the best team in the country right now. They take on Norfolk State in the 1-16 matchup. But then you've got an interesting game after that. They'll play the 8-9 between UConn and Oklahoma. UConn obviously won the last two national championships, had an up-and-down year this year. They lost a lot of guys to the NBA.
Hurley's going to have them ready.
He's going to have them ready, no doubt about it. And Oklahoma is no chump. They can play basketball. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like we said last week or the week before when we talked about if Carolina got in, whoever has to see them on their bracket is going to go, oh, man, you still don't want to see Carolina there. And if you're Florida as the number one seed, you see UConn right below you as your second round game possibly, and you have to just think to yourself, my God, really? Like, we have to play Danny Hurley and UConn in the second round possibly? And, yeah, you might. Now, they're not the same team as they've been the last 2 years, but like you said, he's going to have them ready.
Yeah, I really like the coach for Florida as well. I don't know if you got to see him with the interview afterwards. Yeah, right. And didn't have a hair out of place, and he kind of joking around with his teammates. They touched his hair, and he got all up in arms a little bit, but regardless of his hair, he's a good coach, and yep. He has these guys playing hard right now, and they're flying around. They're active on the boards. They're deep. They played nine players. I think nine players scored in that game. You have to be if you're going to run the gauntlet in the SEC. So I think those all kind of help in favor of a team like Florida that can, be deep off the bench. And I think it's a big difference between the top tier teams, let's say the top eight teams, mm-hmm. versus the rest of the field, right? Teams like Carolina, teams, maybe like Wisconsin or a BYU. is that they're going to have good scores. Maybe their first unit's going to be, you know, play really hard. But when it gets down to it, especially as we get later into the tournament, your legs start faltering a little bit. You need breaks. Maximum effort's going to be exerted on the defensive end.
So trying to stop two games in what, 3 days?
Yep. Trying to stop and slow down some of these, you know, the elite scoring teams, and eventually your legs get worn out. So, you know, how deep is your bench? How well do you transform to the tempo of the game? And, you know, those are the types of things where great point guards can really make a difference, and, you know, or a great big man on the inside where it can take some pressure off those point guards.
So you got UConn or Oklahoma?
I have UConn. I have UConn beating Oklahoma. You know, I think that, again, it's kind of they played really well towards the end of the season. Hurley, I believe in him as a coach. You know, he's going to have a little bit of, you know, pedigree, you know, kind of, hey, everybody's counting us out. Nobody's talking about us. We're the two-time defending champs. Yep. So somebody's going to have to beat them.
Yep.
They're not going to go out and tap out and be done. Somebody's going to have to take it to them. And I think Florida has all the animals to be able to go out there and do that.
I agree. I got UConn beating Oklahoma, but I got Florida taking care of
I do as well. I have Florida out there at the Elite Eight. And then, you know, Memphis, Colorado State, Maryland, Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has a legend coaching for them. They have some tournament experience. A little small school right out in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, it's a great little fun university, and they've gotten better, you know, over the years, especially in basketball. But, you know, that's kind of really baseball and basketball are their two sports. Mm-hmm. And they I don't know if they just have enough firepower to you know, to take it to the next level.
Maryland, I think, is the highest scoring team in the, or their top five, at least high scoring top five in the country. And I think Maryland beats them. Memphis, Colorado State's interesting, though. Memphis, the 5 seed, Colorado State, the 12. We know throughout the history of NCAA tournament, that 5-12 game has been ripe for upsets. And Colorado State's won 10 games in a row. They're basketball. Memphis,
they snuck in.
They won their conference in a tournament beating Boise State. Memphis best player, who had 42 two nights ago, didn't play in the championship against UAB, which, again, if you're a Carolina fan, you should be, you know, you're surprised. When you saw that Memphis wasn't going to have him playing, you probably thought, man, UAB, they're in that group of teams you need to lose or win, and Memphis took care of business. But I think Colorado State's going to stay hot. I think they could beat Memphis, and I've got Colorado State versus Maryland in the second round in that one. And then we go down to Missouri, Drake, and Missouri, again, it seems like every team we go through, we're like SEC team. Well, Missouri is one of those SEC teams that have been great all year, but the Drake story is really cool. They're 30-3. They have 15 new players on their roster compared to last year. They hired a coach who had won, I think, 2 national championships in Division II basketball. He takes the job. I think he brings 5 players with him. He brings in another 10 that weren't on the team last year.
One of the best defenses in the country.
Great defense, and all they did was go 30-3, and now you're Missouri, and you're matching up with them in the first round of the NCAA tournament. A team, again, not only with experience playing together because of the fact they played on the same team in Division II last year, but the same coach that most of these kids have had. And I think Missouri's in trouble here. And again, I know you talked about these big conferences or conferences that come in with a lot of
swag
because of this and that seem to fizzle out early. I think that this is a great chance where you're going to see that. And I think Drake's going to beat Missouri.
Well, I think when you look at the percentages of the 12-5 matchups or the 11-6 matchups is where you see a lot of, you know, upsets typically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of those games that you talk about. We don't know much about Drake, obviously. You know, we hear, you know, Clark Kellogg talking about them, and you know the story about you know, their program and what they've done this year. And you know, it's going to be interesting. But I've seen Missouri play a couple of times. They're a team that has athletes everywhere. They play well together. You know, they made a nice little run in the SEC tournament, and eventually just they didn't have enough talent. But I do think that they have more talent than Drake, and I do think that they beat them.
What do you got? So next we go to 3, Texas Tech against 14 North Carolina Wilmington, our North Carolina team, which it's great to see them make the tournament again. It's been a while, but they run into a tough team in Texas Tech who plays great offense, you know, and I think that they're overwhelm Wilmington.
Yeah, I mean that's the same reason you're looking at Texas Tech. The same reason why I think Missouri is just ultimately you have more athletes.
Yep.
You know, Drake has those five guys and great, and it's a great story, and but that's where the story ends. I don't think that we're looking at a Cinderella there, and I do think that you're looking at chalk mostly in that first round in the West.
Here's where I think are the most interesting two games in the entire first round of the tournament, and that's where you got number 7 Kansas versus 10 Arkansas. So you'll have Coach Kyle Perry making his return with Arkansas. Obviously, he's been at Kentucky forever. And then the winner of the Arkansas-Kansas game, and let's just assume for 1 second that Arkansas gets by Kansas. And Arkansas, by the way, is getting their best player back, so that's going to be a huge boost. But the winner of that game is going to take on the number 2 seed, St. John's, or Nebraska Omaha. I think we'll both agree it's going to be St. John's, which could set up in the second round a Coach Calipari versus Patino matchup, which neither guy likes each other. There's no love lost between the two. They're both on record for saying that. Obviously, both of them had great runs at Kentucky and elsewhere. So I'm hoping that Arkansas beat Kansas is definitely down. But again, in the tournament, Coach Self has had huge success, so you never know. I think that's a great matchup, but I'm going to be pulling for Arkansas to get by Kansas and St. John's, obviously, to get by Omaha and set up what could be a great second-round matchup. Yeah,
Kansas has great height in the middle. They have an enforcer down there. That's going to be able to defend the paint, get a lot of rebounds, be able to start their fast breaks with missed shots. But if Arkansas isn't missing, because they have guys that can slash and, take it right at him, and maybe slow their breaks down if they're making layups, but that's the best way to stop a fast break is to go out there and make baskets so you can get your defense set. But I think Arkansas, for all the reasons you said, they get their best player back. Their coach has a chip on his shoulder, I think that their players do as well, because it's kind of, I think they're going to mirror and resemble what their coach is, feeding them. And I like Arkansas to win in that second, in that 7-10 matchup. And then I think they'll face St. John. And I think just, when you look at that game, that's going to be old school Big East basketball, even though neither one of these teams are there. St. John is. But, when you start looking at, that's one of those beat 'em up type of games. And that's what's going to be really interesting. I think when we start looking at these brackets and you look at conference play, I think that's one of the big things that has hurt the ACC in years past is how these games are officiated. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of players that made some comments. Jay Williams, I think, was one of them, and was talking about the SEC, and he was literally disappointed in how physical the game was. There's no free range of motion. All the rules that had been put in place to allow guys freedom and space, there was grabbing, tugging, pulling, and the referees had swallowed their whistles. Me personally, I like those physical beat up games. The games where guys are falling down and getting after it, and you earn your baskets, no free layups, right? That's just not the way basketball has trended. And the ACC historically, or at least the last couple of years, and the Pac-12 had weaker conferences where, you touch foul, it's whistle, right? And you get into these tournaments where you depend on your referee and how the game is being officiated, they're going to beat you up. It's the same problem that Duke had when they played Carolina. Carolina got in their grill. They pressed them, they forced them outside of places they didn't want to go, and it gave Duke some problems originally. And these teams have been doing it all year in the best conference, and I think that's going to be interesting storyline as we move forward to see in each one of these brackets for each one of these teams how well they adjust to the officiating in some of the bigger arenas and coliseums they're playing in.
I hope they let them play, because I agree with you. I think, if they're going to call every ticky-tack foul, slow the games down, it just becomes boring basketball. But when you're making the guys earn their baskets and they're going hard and they're fouling hard, to me, it's just a better product of basketball. And that's, I guess that could also sound old school in a time now where you have teams chunking up 20, 30 three-pointers a game. But I think you're right. I think in the tournament, at least, as you mentioned in the SEC tournament, it does appear that they're going to let them play more. And look, St. John's, no one will want that more than they will, because St. John's is the number one defense in the country, and they play really tough. And it's not just their guys inside; their guards are tough. But they look like they've got running backs up there, you mm-hmm. know. And so, you know, Patino is going to hope that they put the whistle and keep it in their pocket. But you're right. How they officiate these games is going to be interesting. Who do you have to your Elite Eight out of the bottom?
I got Florida taking on Memphis. No, excuse me. I have Florida taking on Maryland.
Okay.
And then I have Missouri taking on St. John. And then I ultimately have Florida taking on Missouri. I think that's going to be my first upset.
Wow, so Missouri, you're going.
I have Missouri going a pretty good distance of the way. And I think that, you know, they have some pretty good players too. And I've seen them play a couple of times, and they're streaky. But I think that there's something special about that team when I watched them play. And, you know, maybe that was just the one-off game that they were playing, but they found a way to get it done down the stretch. And what I saw was, you know, 10 guys, 11 guys, all kind of gathering around, and it was like brothers. Mm-hmm. And I think there's that special bond there with those guys. And it's going to be a tough out. I mean, maybe they don't have, St. John's going to be able to, you know, beat them up and, you know, do all those things. And if Missouri can play, 40 minutes of defense and slow them down a little bit, it could come down to one of those shots. And, you know, it's really kind of a 50-50 pick 'em for me, but I'm going to go with Missouri in that game just to be different.
The West is the bracket that I think I have the most upsets in.
That's the only one I really have.
I've got Colorado State taking care of Memphis in the first round, and I've got Colorado State beating Maryland in the second round.
Yeah, Colorado State beating Maryland.
Yeah, I think they're going to win their first two games. And then I've got Drake beat Missouri, but I think that dream ends when they play Texas Tech in round two. And then I've got St. John's, as you did.
Well, if Drake meets Missouri, then my bracket's kind of blown up there in the West.
Well, that bracket's where, like I said, I could be in trouble. Colorado State. The good news is I've got Florida taking care of Colorado State, so at least I gain there. And then I've got St. John's losing to Texas Tech. So I've got Florida versus Texas Tech and Florida moving on and to the Final Four. Let's go to the East. Raleigh, North Carolina is where that begins, and Duke Blue Devils coming off just an exhilarating ACC tournament. Best player down, best defender down. And
did it surprise you?
You know, it did, and here's why more than anything. Flagg and Brown are their two best defenders. Like, it's one thing to lose the best player in the country in Flagg, but Brown and Flagg are the two best defenders on Duke. So when you lose your two best defenders, I don't know many teams that can overcome that, especially when you're playing good basketball teams like Clemson and Louisville. And even if Clemson would have gotten by Louisville, you know, there's that Final Four of that tournament, you had Carolina, Duke, Louisville, and Clemson without your two best defenders, and then without obviously the player of the year.
Well, I think that's, and when you look at the ACC tournament, and especially the final game against Louisville when Duke was playing them, I mean, it was a hard fought game all the way through. But at the end, when it came down to crunch time, what won the game for Duke? It was their defense.
Yep.
And all the other guys stepped up. And, you know, the Malawi in the middle was arguably the tournament MVP, but Knippel obviously, you know, did his thing. And, you know, it came down to, you know, them hitting shots. And that's where, you know, I think that they got hot. They were streaky, but they were about 40%, 45% from three. And if they can continue to do that, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah. And, you know, Shire's now won, you know, two ACC championships in his 3 years. And I, you know, over the last few years, I thought Shire was a good coach. I thought he was doing a good job. But I wasn't completely sold until now. What he did in this tournament with all the adversity we just talked about, I have to give him a lot of credit. And even some of the timeouts he called, which, you know, we can all remember Carolina fans would always get mad that Roy would never call his timeouts or Bill Self. Even some of the timeouts I thought he called were very intelligent times to call timeouts where some coaches wouldn't have done it. And I think it was just to kind of regather his team, take a breath, and let's reset and go back out here and do what we know we can do. I was more excited about Duke winning this ACC championship than I've been in a long, long time.
You know, it's interesting. If you want to talk about coaching and the job that he's done there, I think he should be the ACC coach of the year. I know that Louisville will probably get a lot of nominations as well, but you know, I think the one thing for Duke, they haven't trailed at halftime, I think, but two times, and both of those times were when in this tournament.
Yep.
Once against North Carolina, and then the other one against Louisville. So they were trailing in both of those games. And here's the sign of there's two signs.
No, North Carolina, they were winning at halftime by 20. You're talking about when they played North Carolina in Chapel Hill last week. That was the first. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. And then Louisville this game. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was talking about. So when you look at this game, two times that they've been behind was Louisville and North Carolina. where they were behind in both of those games. And what happened in the second half? The second half, that there's a couple of ways to be able to evaluate coaches, and there's two ways that you can really do it, and we can all see it as well. We don't get to see the X's and O's and the plays that they're calling up. All we do is be able to watch the finished product. But when you have a play set up and you draw a play and it scores a bucket out of a timeout,
yep.
Guess who calls that? Coach. That's a great play. That's what kind of defines one of those things for coaching during game, in-game coaching. The other one is the adjustments you make at halftime. And here's the reality of it is when you're leading at a game, I don't care what game it is, in football, baseball, baseball doesn't have the half times where they go and adjust. It's just, you know, you make the on-field adjustments and innings, where in basketball and football, you have half times where you can go in there and regroup and come out with a different game plan if necessary. And if you're leading, you're usually not making many adjustments. Hey, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and we might make some adjustments here or there, a little tinkers, but we're not making full sail adjustments. You know, the difference between the way that Duke played in the second half of both of those games they were losing was because the adjustments that Shire made coming out of halftime and put their team in the best position, you know, with Cooper Flagg in that first game to be, you know, a better defensive team. And in the game against Louisville, you know, to get their better players the ball, and they switched who the point guard was, and, you know, they kind of rotated positions, and they freed up their hot shooter to be able to go out there and continue to be an off-the-ball threat and knock some big threes down. So, you know, those are the things that great coaches do, and I think Shire's done a really, really good job of that. Out of timeouts, they seem to have well-drawn-up plays. You're not always going to make the shot, but if you get the wide open shot, is really kind of what you're looking for, you know, whether it's a pick and roll, whether, you know, you fill in the blank and how you want to design the play. But he's done a really good job, you know, putting them in a great position when he's called those timeouts or out of halftime.
Yeah, he has. And Mally Watch, you said it. I mean, he played great the entire tournament, you know, rebounding the ball, blocking shots, and
he's defending on the perimeter.
Yep.
I mean,
he's a great athlete.
When he drops his center of gravity and he spreads out, he takes up both sides of the paint.
Yep.
I mean, 7'2", and he can move those feet for a big guy.
And he's still learning. He's only been playing basketball, I think, for 3-4 years. So he's only going to get better. So if you're Mississippi State or Baylor, the 8-9 matchup in the East region, you're going to have. So
we're just saying that Duke's is just going to go through America.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, then we're going to have a heck of a big story on the next show. But Mississippi State, Baylor, again, two very athletic teams. Woo. This should be a great game. And, you know, Baylor, who has one of the best point guards in the country, certainly if true freshman, certainly going to be a top 5 to 7 pick in the NBA draft. And that should be a great matchup. I've got Baylor getting it done. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Baylor in that as well. And honestly, if you asked me the teams I didn't want to play in the second round, Baylor would have probably been, you know, one of them as the one seed. I think that, you know, they have the ability to score. They have a great player that can, you know, get hot and light it up.
And he plays great
defense. And they have some toughness on defense. And, you know, they're one of those teams that can make a run if you allow them. You have to go out there and beat Baylor. Baylor's not going to lay down to Duke when they play in Raleigh. You're going to have to go out there and beat them. And I think, you know, that's one of those things that it's going to be, I think, really that first challenge. And it might be really the first time that we see Flagg back healthy. I don't know if he's going to be playing.
Hold him out of the first game.
I wouldn't give him, but maybe some bench minutes to kind of see where he's at, to let that heal. But he also gets some comfortable, comfortability.
Get some rust off.
He gets to be able to test it. And he knows that, you know, one of the biggest things as an athlete when you get injured is, you know, going out there and fearing that pain again. So you play cautious, you play timid because you don't want to hit it and you don't want to roll it because it's going to happen again. And scar tissue is going to, you're going to hit, and it's going to go awkward and you're going to have that bite again. And, you know, then you realize, okay, well, it went away a lot faster. And then it goes away a lot faster and then you don't feel it. Right. So he's still going to feel that bite when he twists his foot one way or the other. He drives off and, you know, goes to make an explosive cut. And then that's something that I think you have to test early on, but you don't want to wear it out, right? You want those muscles and ligaments to be able to recover and heal. And I think that's where he'll really get most of his playing time is against that game, that next game against
Duke. Yeah, ideally for Duke, they get to a big lead. They can get him some minutes, like you said, and then get him out, ice it up, rest him up. Again, we both like Baylor, but it wouldn't shock you that one of us, Mississippi State, won. They've got a really good team, too, physical. Then you got Oregon versus Liberty, 5 versus 12. Oregon kind of up and down. Very athletic, as they always seem to be. But Liberty's a team that, you know, just looking at the brackets and reading some articles last night, today, a lot of people like Liberty as maybe an upset special here. I have not seen Liberty play enough to really make a educated opinion. What I have seen and what I've read about, I still think Oregon probably takes them there. And then Arizona, your team growing up at the 4 seed, taking on Akron. And Arizona's tough.
Arizona gave Houston all they could handle.
Yep.
And had a lead, and it was a back and forth game till probably about 3 or 4 minutes in that game where Houston just hit a couple more shots and separated. And Arizona, they can fly around and get after it too. They're athletic. This is not the Lute Olson teams that, you know, that he had back then, but Olson teams that he had back then. But, you know, this team has a little bit of swag to them, and you know, they played really well in their conference tournament. They just didn't have enough firepower to match Houston.
I saw a stat, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but Arizona's coach, since he's been there, has either the first or second best record of any coach when it comes to you know, the season and the tournament. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they kind of fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. Whenever I think of Arizona in the last maybe 5-10 years, I for some reason always think they're a team that loses in the first or second round. They disappoint. And then you start looking back, and obviously they had a couple of those, but this guy can coach, man. And listen, if you're, you know, Duke at number one, you already mentioned the Baylor-Mississippi State game won't be an easy matchup. But then if Arizona gets by Akron, and you end up meeting them in that third round matchup, that's a heck of a battle. Well,
you have to get by Oregon too, because yeah. Oregon's not going to cave.
Oregon doesn't scare me.
Those are two teams right there that have a lot of familiarity with each other over the last couple of years. I know they're not necessarily, you get such a turnover in college basketball. So, you know, they're not the same teams, but the same styles that they're going to play. And, you know, they're very familiar with the way that they play. So, but I do think Arizona has more athletes. I think they have a little bit more toughness than Oregon. And I think ultimately they're going to be the team that Duke's playing, you know, right there in the quarters.
Yep. You move down to the 6-11 game. You got BYU against VCU. Then you got Wisconsin in the number 3 seed versus Montana at 14. Again, BYU is playing great basketball, as is Wisconsin.
And their basketball players are like 32 years old.
And that's, yeah.
They just got back from their mission. Got back from their missions. And
well, they're playing great. And VCU is always one of those teams, just like I said with Arizona, where you think about them maybe losing early on. VCU is one of those teams that you think is a team that seems to win and upset after upset after upset. And so that'll be a good matchup. I've got BYU getting by them. But Wisconsin to me, and you know, I'll go ahead and reveal it. I've got them making it all the way to the third round. I think Wisconsin's a dangerous team, and I actually have got them playing Duke in the Elite Eight. I think Wisconsin's a team that can go on a run. They play really good defense. They can score. They're battle tested. But the 7-10 St. Mary's Vanderbilt, and then you got Alabama Robert Morris. If St. Mary's or Vandy, whoever,
St. Mary's a tough out.
They're tough, and Vandy's tough. They played in the SEC again. We're going to say that it seems like every other game, but Alabama, when they're on, they're one of the highest scoring teams in basketball. They've got the experience. They've been to Final Fours. Their coach is a great basketball coach. And so I think this Duke bracket, when it comes to getting into the third, fourth, getting to the Elite Eight and the Final Four, you could literally have Duke, Arizona, Wisconsin, Alabama, four teams that have been in national championships, four teams that are
have a great pedigree.
Great pedigree.
Right, and that's what I have. I have Duke, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Bama. I took chalk pretty much for the most part in that bracket. I have Duke playing Bama. I think Bama beats Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, just in my bracket at least. You know, that very easily could swing the other way, but that'll be you know, a very high scoring game. Wisconsin is not that old. You know, walk it down. You know, maximize your possessions and look for that one great shot. You know, they've evolved. into more of the analytics and let's get down there. Let's have some tempo. Let's run when we need to. Let's be efficient on offense. Let's not be out of control. But, you know, we need to score in order to win against some of these elite teams. You couldn't win games like they used to anymore, 40-something to, you know, 50, right? I mean, that's the way they, that's the kind of basketball they played. They'd beat you up and you know, slow the game down, you know, almost like North Carolina used to do back, you know, in Dean Smith days. They'd play the four corners and keep it away and tire you out on defense and, you know, wait for that last 10 seconds to attack the rim and, you know, slow and minimize, you know, those possessions and, you know, make the other team, if they turn it over, hey, we're going to do that. We're going to be methodical about this and we're going to wear you out. That's not this Wisconsin team. This Wisconsin team can score. They can play good defense. I just, you know, again, it comes down to, the athletes at Alabama, you know, versus the athletes at Wisconsin. And, you know, Wisconsin, obviously they can shoot very well. You know, they play good team basketball, but I don't know if they're as battle tested as Bama.
So you've got Bama beating Wisconsin.
I have Bama beating Wisconsin and playing Duke in the Elite Eight.
I've got Wisconsin beating Alabama, but I got to tell you, it was definitely a reach. Like that was one that I had a hard time picking. I just know that I've watched Wisconsin quite a bit this year, as I have Alabama, but lately in particular, Wisconsin has just played great. And I just
who are they playing? Who are they beating?
I mean, listen, Michigan State. Like, they've got a good conference too. It's much better than what the ACC's playing. So
Clemson, and you got Louisville, the same as Michigan and Michigan State.
Well, so. No, I mean Ohio State and Indiana both were they're on the out, bubble for getting in. But my point is, they're not playing. You're not playing Boston College or I mean the ACC. The bottom is just weak. You're not playing.
You got Northwesterns. You have there's some teams out there that are not
Northwestern. Great. Actually,
Washington.
Not that bad,
Washington.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I mean there's a lot of bad basketball up in the Big Ten.
I would say, and again, it doesn't matter because Alabama at the end of the day is SEC team who has played tough.
And they've beaten. So, I mean, that's,
I just think Wisconsin.
It just depends on what Bama team shows up. If the high flyers, the tough Alabama team shows up and, I feel like they're a team of momentum. When things are going well, they play really well. When things kind of back up and they get punched in the mouth, I'm not sure if they're that team that's going to be able to punch back.
Well, Alabama plays that NBA style. So you're right. I mean, when they have it going, man, they're fluid and they're tough.
They got a lot of guys can knock it down.
No doubt. Go down to the Midwest where Houston's the number one seed there. Again, they're playing SIU Edwardsville, who I really don't know who the
you're
heck
not going to tell
are.
Us about SIU Edwardsville.
I have no idea, even though I did pick them to win.
Is that a play-in game?
No, they're the legit 16 seed.
Well, those aren't two schools.
It's the first time they've been I think they might have been in a play-in game before, but it's the first time they're actually in this top 16 as a 16 seed. And then obviously we both have Houston there, but then again we have another great matchup at 8-9 with Gonzaga to Georgia. Georgia this year has beaten St. John's, Florida. I think Kentucky. So they've got some,
Alabama,
maybe Alabama. I don't even remember. So they've got some great wins on their schedule. Gonzaga, highest scoring team or top two highest scoring team in the country. Again, every year. I mean, can we remember many, Elite Eights that a Gonzaga hasn't been in the last 15, 20 years, it seems like.
Mark Few has done an amazing job at Gonzaga. Yep. When you look at over the last 20 years, the most D1 wins of any basketball program, guess where it's at?
Gonzaga.
And it's not close. They're number one by a long shot. I think it's like 40, 50, 60 games. You know who number two is? Duke's right there as well. So, there's a lot of teams that have, figured out, that tradition and those expectations to always be, that team that's going to be the tough out. And I would not be surprised one bit if Few and Gonzaga went on a deep run in this tournament. Houston is untested. This is their first time really in these big moments. And
well, they were in the Final Four, I think, in the championship game last year.
And it'll be interesting to see. I would not be surprised whatsoever if Gonzaga made a deep run. And Houston, like we just said, is one of those teams that can show up hot or cold. I didn't think they were overly impressive against Arizona. They found a way to win, but it was late. I guess you give them the toughness and the grit, quality defense. For that and good defense when it came down to it. But I do have them in my bracket at least beating Gonzaga.
In the second round?
In the second round.
But you have Gonzaga taking care of Georgia?
I have Gonzaga beating Georgia. Yes, I have Gonzaga beating Georgia.
I took Georgia. I think, again, it's funny. Some of these games, I'm taking the weight of the SEC, and some I'm going against it. But I think Georgia plays well against the best teams, and their schedule kind of shows that.
They play up or down to their competition.
Exactly. And I think the Gonzaga isn't the Gonzaga we've seen in the past. They're still good, but I think Georgia could take care of them. And then we go to the 5-12 game where Clemson, a team that you've been really high on, I have as well, but I know you really like Clemson. They're playing at East State. Clemson loses to Louisville in the ACC tournament and get a little extra rest there, and they do lose Hunter, one of their best defenders with a broken hand. There's no question that that played a role against Louisville.
Well, the depth, they just don't have that guy coming off the bench. That guy that's coming off the bench now has to be a full-time starter. So who's that next guy up? And again, that's what I was going back to and alluding to earlier in our conversation, mm-hmm. when I was talking about the elite teams have those bench players, you know, like Florida, like Duke, that can come off and still contribute at a high level and be starters and high quality starters, you know, for most teams. Clemson, that's kind of where you see they have seven guys, and then they fall off. And I think that's what hurt them against Louisville and will hurt them, you know, ultimately in this tournament.
Who do you have in the 4-13 match?
I would not be surprised if Clemson lost to McNeese State.
Really?
Yep. I mean, McNeese State, their conference.
Are you taking them?
No, I took Clemson.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you think it'd be a good game?
I think it'd be a great game. I think that could be one of those, last second shots.
Yeah.
I do like Clemson's point guard very, very much. And I think he all the toughness, he's a veteran, a guy. And I think he'll pull them through. But eventually I have them beating McNeese State. And then ultimately I have them beating Purdue, who I have in that next 4-13 matchup.
Yeah, Purdue's playing another North Carolina team, High Point, located about an hour and a half here from Charlotte. And really, High Point's a school that in the last 10 years, as their athletic
just outside of Greensboro.
Yep, and man, they have been growing. Not only their athletic department, but their school. It's a beautiful campus, kind of tucked away. You know, it's one of those.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when UNC Charlotte was kind of making their move. That's for Greensboro. That's who they remind me of.
Well, High Point's got a cool little town. You know, like I said, you're kind of in the middle of nothing. Yep. And some of the town.
It's a college town.
The way to High Point, you're like, man, I don't want to be found alone here. It's kind of dangerous. And then all of a sudden, bam, there's the High Point University. And they've been growing. They've got a really good team as well. I think Purdue ultimately beats them, but I'll be pulling for High Point. And then the 6-11 game, you got Illinois playing the play-in game, Texas or Xavier. I don't think Xavier even deserved to be in the play-in game. I said that earlier on. I think Boise State would have been a better choice than them. I know Xavier's had some big wins along the way, but they've also had some awful losses. They've also been in the tournament a lot, so I think that probably made a little bit of a difference. Xavier is pretty much a staple, it seems, and being a very good program. But Illinois can score. They've got, you know, they've got good guard play. They've got a guard that's going to be a probably top 10, 15 pick in the NBA. And I think regardless whether it's Texas or Xavier, I think Illinois has enough to take care of them.
I like Texas in that one personally. I think that, watching them play, their tournament,
they made a decent run. Yeah.
They made a really good run. You know, it's really, when you look at these records, I think they can be misleading, and I think that's the one thing that we talked about with North Carolina. It's not really about what you did in the beginning of the season, you know, because you can take those losses and learn from them and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen that with a team like Carolina. I think we've also seen that with a team like Texas. Texas has gotten better incrementally as the season's gone on, and they were playing their best basketball at the end. That's why they had their nice little run. And I do like them in an upset. That would be one of my upsets in that South bracket on the bottom side.
And I mean, look, Texas, I think, had 7 quad one victories.
From the Midwest.
And you said it earlier, in the SEC tournament, they played great until they ran into their old coach, Rick Barnes in Tennessee and took the loss. And obviously Tennessee made it to the championship where they lost to Florida. So wouldn't surprise me at all. And you're right. That might be a good upset pick if you're in Vegas, because the odds are probably gonna be better than they would be if you took Illinois like I have. But moving on down to Kentucky Troy, who will play the winner of that Illinois Texas / Xavier game. Kentucky, another up and down team. When they're on, and then there's nights you wonder, is Coach Pope even doing a doggone thing? But they're gonna play Troy again. You can't imagine Troy gives Kentucky much, although
those are those upsets that nobody sees coming that can blow brackets up, especially when you're Kentucky fans and they're going to have their team to make those deep runs and bet with their heart. You know, when you start looking at the point values and all the things that we do in these, with these brackets, but if you took a Troy like that, that might be a chance to, you know, maybe make a little bit of money and something like that. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, because obviously the committee watches a lot of these games, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but they'll be, Vegas does for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
And when Vegas comes with their lines, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where these lines start at, because I think that'll be a good indicator of, you know, kind of what they feel is going to happen. Because, you know, when we see Troy, Kentucky, and we know that Kentucky's one of those blue blood programs, we're going to be like, why is this an 8-point game in Vegas?
Right.
Right. We're not going to have any idea. So Kentucky's going to blow them out. And here comes Troy. You know, they're going to know exactly, or Vegas is going to know exactly what that game is going to be, or at least close to it.
And, you know, those two games, Illinois, Texas / Xavier game and the Kentucky Troy game, those two games, really, if you look at this bracket, could be something that blows your bracket up, because it wouldn't be a shocker if Texas or Xavier beat Illinois. And then let's assume Kentucky gets by Troy. Who knows who would win Texas versus Kentucky or Illinois versus Kentucky. So that could be one of those we circle right now and go, man, if you missed that one, you could really,
well, you still have them playing Illinois.
I've got Illinois playing Kentucky, and I got Kentucky beating Illinois, but.
Well, I have Texas playing Kentucky. So you keep saying Illinois.
That's my point, is that those two games honestly could be one that, you know, you look at when everything's said and they go, man, those are the games that killed me. Like, I just whiffed on both of those. You know, it could, those are hard ones to pick. And then below, you got UCLA versus Utah State, the 7-10 game. UCLA started the year kind of slow, and then they've been pretty doggone good the rest of the way.
And the highest scoring team in the Big Ten. And, you know, they, you know, maybe there's not a lot of familiarity, but they play that West Coast basketball. Who was the team back in the day? They'd run and gun. And, you know, just
Loyola
Marymount. And UCLA is not kind of, you know, maybe that fanatical with the 3-point shot, but they're going to jack them up. And, you know, they have some, you know, big guys down low that can keep the ball alive and get those second chance opportunities. And when UCLA has scored a lot of their points, and I've watched a lot of them against Oregon and some of the other teams they played, it was because of the second chance points on the rebounds with those big guys tipping it out to guys where they're going to have those great looks at 3-point shots.
And UCLA coach, obviously battle tested being at Cincinnati for those years. But Utah State's pretty interesting story too. 26-7 on the year. This is their third coach in 3 years and their third appearance straight in the NCAA tournament, which is getting it done when you're a school like Utah State, who certainly,
I'm telling you, it's all those 35-year-old guys that they recruit down there.
the whole state of Utah. Yeah. That's their MO.
Yeah. They get back from their mission trip, they give them a little bit of, and they don't have to even pay the NIL money. They just give them another wife.
is that a benefit? I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
You get to pay half when they're done. I don't know.
I don't know if that's a benefit. That could be a deterrent.
Yeah.
But regardless, whoever wins that game, then you're running into the winner of Tennessee-Wofford. Wofford, another local team from South Carolina. I know you've spent many summer at training camp burning your tail off in Wofford. Great story. Big guys shooting underhand free throws, and they snuck into the tournament. But Tennessee, man, number one, they play great defense, we know. Offense is where they struggle. When they're scoring the basketball, they probably are as good as it gets. When they struggle, or when they have a 5 to 7 minute drought against good teams like yesterday against Florida in the SEC championship, that's when they're in trouble. But Tennessee's, they're for real. And that UCLA-Tennessee matchup, it'll be interesting to see how Tennessee's defense does against the offense like UCLA.
You know, what's interesting with this program is that Bruce Pearl used to be there. And, you know, Bruce Pearl now at Auburn with the number one team in the country, or at least the number one seed overall. And it feels like, you know, whether it's at Tennessee when he was there and he had some really good athletic teams, or when he's at Auburn right now and he feels like he has a really good athletic team with maybe arguably the best player in the country, he hasn't won those big games. When you look at Rick Barnes and what he's been able to do before when he was at Texas, he would make some good runs, but he just doesn't seem like a coach that would fit, you know, with today's young kid. He's an older guy, kind of a grumpy old, but he's got these,
he's guys. Also got the knot for not winning big games.
Yeah, but he's got these guys' ears.
Yep.
He's got them playing incredibly hard.
They do.
I mean, Tennessee right now is that team, other than Florida, that I'm like, I mean, you watch that game today And it was back and forth until Florida started hitting and pulling away late in the game, because Tennessee was hanging with them. They have a great fan base. And, you know, they could make a deep, deep run. And in fact, that's who I have going all the way because of what I just said. And the way that I saw them play Florida today, they gave Florida everything they could handle. Florida ended up being the victor. And a couple days ago, when they played, that was a great, great basketball game.
So you have Tennessee, when you say going all the way, you mean to come into the, out of that bracket into the Final Four?
That's correct.
So you've got them beating Houston? Or
I have them beating Texas.
Okay.
And then I have them beating Houston.
Well, no, you haven't beaten it. So you've got Texas instead of Kentucky.
That's right.
And then you got to beat in Houston.
Yep.
All right. Well, you got some upsets.
I have some upsets, and that's where you got to make your hay.
No doubt.
You got to make your hay and take a risk.
And by the way, we filled these out. We have still a couple days to change our mind.
Well, we're going to be in Vegas, so we're going to have a lot of intel.
No doubt about it.
We're
going to
have so much intel.
We get there Wednesday, and we'll be there in time to watch Carolina and the play-in game, which will be great. And then, yeah, we'll gather as much intel as we can and see if we can not only make some money, but also win some brackets. When we get back, we're going to dive into our actual Final Four. I know we've kind of got into it some, but we're going to just dive into those four teams and those games and who we think will end up being your national championship right after this.
It's time to suit up. Here's your host, DJ The Suit Stout.
Welcome back, Suit Up Sports. It's Monday, St. Patty's Day, and Frank and I have been talking about March Madness, the NCAA tournament. Tar Heels get in. A lot of other fans that didn't are mad. West Virginia fans are all mad. Social media is full of a lot of that. I know we mentioned earlier that Bubba Cunningham is the head of the committee. What I just read is that he's not allowed to vote, though, on your team. So only 11 of the 12 guys got to vote. He was not one of them. So some people say it could even be a disadvantage. Who knows what happens behind closed doors? But regardless, Carolina's in, and we both thought they deserved it anyway. So it's kind of a moot point. We went through each bracket. We've kind of given you our idea of who we think is going to win. We've given you some upsets. Now I want to jump into the Final Four, and after that I want to finish with if we had to kind of rank our upsets in order of confidence and in order of putting money where our mouth is, who we like. But let's start off with the Final Four. So I've got Auburn taking on Florida and then Duke taking on Houston.
I have Auburn taking on Florida and Duke taking on Tennessee.
Okay, so both of us pretty chalk, which again,
well, I mean,
just, first bracket, we can change it.
Think about what my Final Four is. Auburn.
Three SEC teams.
Yeah. And an ACC team.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of indicative of what the season's been.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to, you know, if you're going to talk about this being a historically good year, I think that, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And that's the reason why I went SEC heavy. On if I had to decide whether I like this game or not, is that, you know, you look at a battle-tested team, and maybe there's a couple like Georgia. I had Gonzaga beating them, but other than that, I had the SEC teams, you know, making deeper runs because of the competition they play week in and week out.
Well, let's start with Auburn, Florida. Obviously, they're familiar with each other. Florida whooped their butt in Auburn earlier this season.
Bad.
Florida playing as good as anybody in the country. Auburn losing two of their last three. However, they were to Alabama on the last second shot, I think, or Tennessee on the last second shot, excuse me. And then Alabama. So two games to two top 10 teams. So, and Bruce Pearl, I don't know if you saw his press conference after they lost the other day. Yeah. Well, two press conferences.
No, two
I know the one you're thinking of. I'm talking about the other
one. Oh, my
goodness. He basically said, yeah, we've lost two games. I know everyone wants to jump on that. Look, we lost two. You know, and he had a great point. I mean, when you're playing in a conference like that every night, you're going to lose some games. But when Auburn takes on Florida, you know, first of all, if that's what happens, what a great matchup.
Well, I would bet a lot of money that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think those, I mean, who knows? I mean, you get one team in basketball that can't find they can't throw the ball in the ocean one night. But even that being said, they still play great defense. Both of those teams offensively and defensively get after it, and they're battle tested and they have good coaches. ultimately, when you look at the difference between the two, I think that's what's going to be the difference maker for me. You know, I think Florida, they just have more. They're just so much more depth than everybody else. I watched that game today, the SEC championship, or yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, it looked like an NBA team out there, and every possession mattered. And Florida, when they won, it looked like they'd won a championship, but they had been through it. They'd been through the battles, and you can tell when a team knows what they did and what they know what they accomplished. And those kids, you know, out there on that court accomplished it. That coach knew what he accomplished, and it was a heck of a basketball game. You know, just the better team won.
Does it worry you that Florida's coach hasn't been here before?
No.
That he's so young and that he hasn't been through an NCAA tournament like this before? And again, we talked about Bruce Pearl, who great coach, but has yet to win the big game. But it doesn't worry you the lack of experience with Florida's head coach?
Lack of experience, no, because I don't think that's I think that, you know, when you get to the tournament and you see those things, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to make the argument for Bruce Pearl not winning the big games. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving too much credit to that. I think once you get to this level, there's going to be experience, I think, that matters. But if you surround yourself with a good staff, like Florida's no stranger to winning championships.
Sure.
And that organization has a lot of pedigree. They have a lot of history. You know, it's not the Donovan years when he was doing it, the Billy Donovan years, but it's a new era, and these guys go out there and they get after it. And, you know, I think this coach, to answer your question, I'm kind of circling the answer, because I don't really know what the answer is with that, because we haven't seen it. So I guess it would concern me a little bit because we haven't seen it, but I'm confident that this guy that is coaching for the Gators, after winning the SEC championship, that might be damn harder than winning the NCAA championship.
You're right. A lot of people said that before the tournament.
Because every night you're playing a top 10 team here. Yep. At least you got some cupcakes in the middle of it.
That's
right?
True. That's definitely true. And who do you have winning between Florida, Alabama? Auburn.
I have Florida winning, and I really don't think it's going to be a close game. I think Florida, again, you what I said earlier, you know, you have elite teams here with the college basketball player of the year.
Yep.
And you look at what he's done.
Yep. With Auburn.
Broom for Auburn. He's one of the top. He's one of the two.
Yeah.
He's the other guy that you would say, okay, I can understand why.
Yep.
Broom or Flag and Broom are the two guys that you sit there and say, you know,
flip a coin.
Yeah. Flip a coin. Yeah. And nobody's going to be mad either way.
Yep.
Both of them are very deserving of that title. And they played their tails off to get there. That being said, I just don't know if he's going to make as big of an impact as what the rest of Florida team, and they're playing such. Auburn right now has lost two of the last three games they played. So it's about peaking at the right time. Carolina's done that in years past. And you're like, okay, here they come. We don't want anything to do with them. You know, Duke's done that when they won some championship 2015, when they started getting a lot of momentum and figured out their role, where Shire was one of the big leaders of that team, where he figured out and identified his role. Florida right now, they have it down. They're playing so well together as a team that I think that's going to be the difference. And they have so much depth. So they're going to be fresh. They're going to have guys coming off the bench. And the guy coming off the bench looks just like the guy that's sitting on the bench that they replaced.
Yep.
And they have 10 guys that look almost identical, and a point guard who I think he takes control of the game. He makes great decisions. And I just feel like they're playing great basketball right now.
Well, I hate to agree with you, but I've got Florida beating Auburn as well. Then we go to the other side.
Why do you hate to agree with me?
Because it's just more fun when we argue. But, you know, on this, there's pride. You know, when you fill out these pools, there's a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And I saw a story today, and it was a great point where and I forget who it was, but they said the question was, how many brackets should you fill out?
Two.
Okay, well, that's what I said.
And the reason why? Why would you say two?
Well, I'd say I'm in some way you just do one, because I go, man, if you could do two, now you're picking this game different, this game
that's
different.
That's right.
Let's just go with your first pick and let's see what happens. This guy said three, and here's why. He said, fill out your first one 60 seconds after the bracket comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Fill out your second one after doing your research, and then fill out the third one using your heart.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, that actually, if you think about that, I think he's got a good point because you get, I know my mom or my wife, you know, when they fill out brackets, they couldn't name you the mascot on these teams. They don't know a player. Maybe they know
what color is that team? Yeah. I like them.
Yeah. What color?
What's their mascot?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like Coach K and Dean Smith. I'm going to go for them. Well, they're not there anymore. Yeah. Like they have no clue.
Yeah.
And so when I read that, I went, okay, that does kind of make sense because you know, and by the way, who knows which one in these days does better, but I think three actually, and again, I don't mean three in a paid league. I'm just saying three to maybe you follow one with your family, maybe your friend.
No, you got to go three in a paid league, but I would never do three. I think two should be the max that anybody allows in any one of their leagues.
Yeah.
And for that reason right there, one of them, you're not going to win and you know it, you're just throwing in the extra $20 or whatever your pool entry is, your bracket entry is, you know, to go out there and build a pot. You know that it's going to be my heart bracket. And I'm going to root for my team and they're going to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And if they do, then guess what? I might win a lot of money because of it. Cause I might be the only team that picked them with my heart. Mm-hmm. I might be the only team that had SIU Edwardsville,
but I'm going to hit big
if I do. Right. So, but then the other one, I'm going to look at, you know, the eye test, you know, what you know about the teams. And there's some teams, you know, that it's just impossible to watch so much basketball. So you have to listen. You have to listen to the experts and what they're saying. And, you know, I think that's the reason why they're experts, because you trust their opinions on what their eyes tell them. So you kind of go with their opinions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you listen to multiple people telling you, even though they're not always right, there's no science to this. Sure. The best people to tell you it would be who? Vegas. Yep. Vegas knows better than everybody.
Yep.
Right. I don't care. I played NFL for 10 years. Vegas knows better than I do when it comes to picking a football game. Everybody thinks I have a great insight.
Yep.
No, I know this team is going to be this. I picked the Eagles to win the championship. And I was right with that one. Best offense, best defense. And, you know, that came to fruition. But I'm not a genius when it comes to that, or else I'd be worth a lot more money than I am right
That's
now.
Right. That's
I'd
right.
be betting a lot more than I do. So, you know, there's always that chance. But Vegas, they know better than anybody. And if you were to throw these Final Fours in there, I think that you know, our odds would be pretty good to win it.
Well, yeah, and I've got Duke Houston, you have Duke Tennessee, and the other thing that's interesting from a filling out a bracket standpoint is it would be interesting to see a heat map of what how they feel about regionally. And I'll give you an example. We know here being Duke fans, it pains a Duke fan or a Carolina fan to choose one of them to win the national championship. Like for me to pick Carolina to win a national championship, it hurts if I'm, and it's really hard to do it. And you know, the same goes for Carolina fans this year. They're not going to take Duke to win the national championship because they hate them. Mm-hmm. And you probably could say the same thing about Kentucky and Tennessee.
That's your heart.
And Michigan and Michigan State.
That's the one you throw there with your heart. But exactly. The hard thing for us is when our heart and our heads collide.
Exactly.
Right. Because we know deep down, there's been years, Hansborough years, Lawson, and all those guys, Danny Green, they all came back, and we knew that they were the best team, mm-hmm. right? But we didn't want to pick them because it was just so contradictory to what our heart was telling us, even though we knew they were the best team.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if that's the case, you know, this year, unless you're a Carolina fan, because I don't really think that Duke is that much better than Florida or Auburn. Right. Or even Tennessee, for that matter. Tennessee, I don't want to dismiss them. Or even if it were to be Houston. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the top 6-8 teams, there is a fine line of separation. And that might just be a star player like Flagg or like Broome that goes out there and takes over a game when it counts.
And listen, and Duke is the youngest team of those. They've got, you know, the three freshmen. They get more minutes than any three freshmen on any team. So they are the youngest team, which you could take into effect and say, how do these young kids play in these big moments? And obviously they just showed pretty well in the ACC tournament, but this is a different ball game. And the other thing I would say too, and both of us being Duke fans, I have a hard time picking Duke to win because I look at it almost if I'm betting against my team, like I win either way. Hmm. So if for instance, I took Florida to beat Duke in the championship. If Florida beats Duke, I hope I win my bracket. But if Duke wins, I'd rather take that win than any of the money that I'm going to win in that bracket. So I kind of look like I'm buying a win.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. And so, but I just have a hard time picking my team to win at all.
I don't.
You have Duke winning against Florida, right?
I absolutely do.
So we both have the same championship.
I will say this right now, if they were to play the game today, Florida's playing much better than Duke, right? Florida's playing much better than Duke. We can't deny that. Even though we would want to say, okay, Duke could find the one thing that I love about Duke, the same thing I loved about the Philadelphia Eagles What wins championships?
Defense.
Defense wins championships. I don't care where you go. It travels.
Yep.
If you play great defense, it travels. That's why I like it. That's why I like Tennessee. That's why I like Auburn. That's why I like Florida. Those guys on both sides of the ball are probably the best KenPom ranked teams, other than maybe Clemson. Clemson's in there as well. We went over that ranking just the other day when it talked to you about the 7-8 teams that were in the KenPom rankings.
Yep.
And they were one of them. So Duke is the highest ranked. They're both. I don't know when the last team that's been in the top five KenPom rankings, which measures, you know, the analytics with the offense versus the defense, and it gives you, spits out numbers and says, this is your efficiency number ratings. Mm-hmm. Then Duke is top five in offense and top five in defense. And because of that, you know, I think there's something to that. And I think what's really helped them is through these games, without Flag, they realize, hey, you know what? He's a great addition, but we're pretty damn good even without him. So it builds confidence in the guy next to you that everybody has a role that they can achieve to or step up to if they had to. If we needed to win this game and you need to step up in the middle, we got a big guy. If somebody else needs to hit a shot on the outside, we got multiple guys that can do that. Now, that being said, if they're off, that's the thing that scares me the most about Duke. I don't want to say they live and die by the three, because they still play great defense. When they won the ACC championship against Louisville a couple days ago, they were hot and cold. They hit more shots than three. They hit more 3-point field goals than they had the previous game against Carolina, or the previous game against that when they barely snuck by.
Well, they were 2-for-16. They were
2-for-16 in the first half against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So you know, they figured a way to get it done. And they figured a way to win those games, and I think that's going to put a lot of confidence in their head. To win the whole thing, I got Duke in a close one, and I think it's going to be, you know, probably in the 80s, mid 80s, something like that, low 80s, you know, between them and Florida.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this much: if that is the game that we get, that's going to be a heck of a basketball. And honestly, like you said, all four teams, whether it be Houston or Tennessee on the bottom, Auburn, Florida, Duke, the teams that we have chosen, those matchups are just insane. And there's a lot of great matchups that could take place moving through the tournament. But let's talk a few minutes about upsets. And we've kind of went through which ones we like. But if you had to sit back and say, all right, we're going to be in Vegas this week, which we will at the Virgin Hotel.
Who do I put some money on? Like, you know, with the odds,
the upset that you have the most confidence in right now. Again, we don't have the final spread, so we're going to kind of.
Can this be any level?
Yeah, any round. Which and we can just start with the first round.
Like, well, I think Missouri would be probably the team that I have to go the furthest. That would be, you know, my Cinderella, I guess, for my teams. I have a lot of paint.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the one team that I've kind of stepped out a little bit and just taken that gut feeling after watching them, and I like their matchups against the teams that they're playing.
I have Missouri
playing St. John's and beating St. John's.
So for Missouri to get there, they would have to beat, again, assuming they beat Drake, they would have to beat a number three seed in Texas Tech.
That's right.
And then they would have to beat either
the two seed in St. John or Arkansas, who's the 10 seed.
The two seed, let's just say, because that would be the bigger upset.
Right.
So they'd have to go a three seed and a two seed.
That's right.
To get to where
Florida.
You got them.
To get to Florida, and I think Florida kind of wipes the floor with them.
Well,
that would be my biggest, the team that makes the biggest run. Tennessee is a two seed, so that's not really, you know, anything. I got that chalk, Houston, Tennessee in the final four there. I got Duke, Bama, which is chalk on that side. I have Auburn, Michigan State for the final four, which is chalk on that side. You know, I think I'm not sold on Iowa State. I have them winning a couple rounds, but I think they lose to Michigan State.
My biggest ones, you know, that I've seen as of today on this bracket is Carolina. And again, the reason that I chose them to win the play-in game, I've got them beating Mississippi and I got them beating Iowa State, then losing to Michigan State. The reason that I like Carolina in this bracket is because, number one, they come into the tournament playing really good basketball, the best they have all year. They've played, I think, five of the top 10 teams, and they've played them very close. A lot of under 5-point losses.
If not have been for Duke, they would have won the ACC championship.
I agree with you. I think they were playing that kind of basketball.
I don't disagree with that.
And so for them to get...
They ran into Duke, and they were a free throw away from tying it, and two free throws away from winning it before they had lane violation.
Yep.
And then Duke ended up winning by three.
And we talked about just how bad of a matchup Duke is for them anyway, with their height and their length. So I think
Carolina, that was a Duke team without Cooper Flagg.
Too, no question. Okay. No doubt. But I think that Carolina's playing as well as they have all year. I think they're battle tested. They played great teams this year, a tough schedule. You know, San Diego State, tough team. They should get by them. Mississippi, again, Mississippi's athletic. I've seen them play where I went, man, they're really good. And mm-hmm. I've seen them play when I went, they stink. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think Carolina gets by them. Iowa State's a tough one for me because when healthy, Iowa State can beat any team on this bracket. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, they can beat any team on this bracket when healthy. But they haven't been healthy. And just when we think they're starting to get healthy, their best player gets dinged up again. So there's who knows what kind of team that Carolina will be playing there. So for me, I think it will be a good game even if he does play. But I'm going to take into account that he's going to be banged up. And I think Carolina can get by them. Michigan State is another one of those teams that if I say, Frank, when I bring up the NCAA tournament at Michigan State, you're probably going to go, Tom Izzo, one of the best coaches ever, you know, great tournament coach, you know, minus, I think, was it last year or the year before that, they lost pretty early on. Yeah. But he's notorious for bringing his teams deep into the tournament.
They're tough. And they're physical. They play great defense.
Yep, and they do this year. I mean, so he's got a really good basketball team. And, you know, for them to get by Bryant, and then Marquette or New Mexico, which I think Marquette will be the team, and I don't think Marquette's that good. So I think Michigan State could have the easiest road to getting to Auburn or to the Elite Eight. But Carolina could be that team.
Well, let me give you the odds and what Vegas thinks.
Okay,
because you know, just looking at some of these games, and I just switched off of it. But the number one team to win, you know, the entire thing with the best odds would be who?
I'm gonna guess Duke.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different sides. MGM's one. I mean, you have, you know, best odds. You have Vegas uses multiple sites.
Yeah, just give me whichever.
But the best team, or the team that they feel has the best chance to win, who they're giving the most odds to, is Duke, at plus 320.
Okay.
You know, then it's Auburn at plus 425, and depending on who you're looking at. A lot of teams have Florida right now, plus 350, plus, or a lot of casinos right. have Florida, plus 350, plus 350. MGM has Florida as the favorite to win, and Duke as the second favorite, and then they have the Florida would be plus 350, Duke would be plus 360, and Auburn's plus 400. MGM's are usually pretty reliable source, one of the bigger casinos there in, you know, FanDuel. Let's see, FanDuel has Duke. And then it has Auburn and Florida tied at 450, Duke at 320. So Duke, for all intents and purposes, is Vegas's odds-on favorite to win a national championship. Number one team in the country if Cooper Flagg is playing. That's a big that's a big caveat. That's the big thing.
Yep.
Other than that, you got Auburn, Florida right there. Then who would be the next team behind Auburn? Be Auburn, Duke, and Florida. I think we all think that those teams.
I would probably say Houston.
Houston would be the next best team at plus 600. So they have them as a close
teams are all kind of flip a coin.
And then from there, here's the surprising part. It goes from plus 600 to plus 2,000 for the next best team.
Wow.
Or plus 1,100 for the next best team.
And who would that be?
Alabama. Alabama's the next favorite to win at plus 1,100, plus 1,200, plus 1,800, plus 1,800, plus 1,800. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is right there behind them, plus 14, plus 16, which is some, depending on who you're watching, then plus 2,000. So it would be Tennessee overall combined would be better to win. They had the next best chance to win than Alabama.
Out of curiosity, see if they've updated what the North Carolina-San Diego State spread is for Wednesday night.
Okay.
I'm just curious because –
by the way, they're not in the top. They're not in the top 20. By the way,
well, no, I wouldn't think they would be.
Let me see where North Carolina.
But I would think
that North Carolina's odds to win the national championship are plus 30,000.
Oh yeah, well, I wouldn't touch that. Yeah. But what are they against San Diego State?
Let me see, San Diego State. All right, figure something else to talk about while I keep going.
Here's why I'm asking because, you know, the teams that I like upset wise, North Carolina be one of them. Wisconsin, which is. You know, they're a three seed, so it wouldn't be as big of an upset as some of the guys that you mentioned. But still, for Wisconsin to get through, they'd have to beat Alabama to get to play Duke, which is what I have them doing, which would be a big upset. You mentioned Alabama, I think, was the fifth or sixth highest favorite team to win right now. But Wisconsin's a team that I've got a lot of faith in that could do it. And then a team that I have losing to Houston, but that is going to be pretty interesting is Georgia, because like I said, they've beat really good basketball teams. But then again, West Virginia beat, I think, three top 10 teams, didn't even make it the tournament. So,
North Carolina is favored by 3.5.
Which is what I probably would guess.
Against San Diego State. Over and under is 144, 72 to 75, something like that, 75 to 70, I think is what probably was what they're looking
at. I think Carolina is the smart bet there. Let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. What game, not including Duke, right, we'll take the favorite team out of there. In the first round, what game, let's say in the first two rounds, mm-hmm. and it could be a possible matchup because we don't know who's going to win the first round, but what game would you be excited? What matchup are you most excited to watch? For me, I already told you, it would be an Arkansas-St. John's matchup with Calipari and Patino. Mm-hmm. That's can't miss basketball right there, and that's the one matchup that I would love to happen. Whether it happens or not, is going to see how Arkansas does against Kansas, because St. John's is going to be there.
Are we talking about any game in the tournament?
Just in the first two rounds.
First couple of rounds, yeah. Okay. I'm looking at, for me, a Florida-UConn could be a great matchup, you know, for everything that we talked about. Florida, I think right now, again, is playing great basketball, but let me look at this. Texas, Missouri. That's going to probably
you
be
like
the one.
Texas
that's
too.
The one. That's, yeah, I like Texas too. That's Texas Tech in Missouri.
Okay, yeah.
That's going to be, one of those things that I'm going to be looking at Missouri, just because if they can get past Texas Tech with the 3 seed, then, I gain a lot more points, and I'm looking pretty good, and I gain points on the rest of the field in my bracket. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of great games that are going to be there. I would probably say Gonzaga, Georgia would be the game that I would look at to say I'm the most interested and intrigued with, just to see, what the SEC is about, because that's a good indicator. It's a middle of the tier team against a conference champion, and it's going to be a good indicator on, how that game is played, on really how good the SEC is, if you ask me.
If I were to ask you, give me a number one seed that has the best chance to not make it to the Sweet 16, who would it be? Regardless of your bracket. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to pick somebody that we wouldn't pick.
Houston.
That's the one that you think has the biggest chance to not make
it. Yeah, when you just look at the odds, again, what you said, Duke's number one favorite and at plus 320, and right behind him is Auburn and Florida. Those two teams are much, greater than Houston. Houston was the next at plus 600. So,
yeah.
Like 2-1 chance to make it. So, just by... Vegas alone, they would be the odd man out. Now, who's going to be my first team upset? Gosh, that's the question.
Yeah.
The question is, who could have the biggest upset early on? And I think that easily could be, maybe not in the first round. Because a lot of these 12-5 matchups, I guess, are upsets. But, when you're talking about these big conferences right now, and you're talking about storied programs, you see a lot of big-name teams that have some history, that it wouldn't be an upset. It's not like a Cinderella story where you never heard anything. Like Lipscomb, comes out and beats somebody.
Yeah.
Or who was the team several years ago that, went to the Final Four? And
George Mason.
Yeah, George Mason. George Mason is what I'm talking about. They had the lady in the stands, and,
Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. That was another one. I don't know if there's really going to be that in this bracket. And if it was, I would guess a lot of people are really high on, I believe it was Drake.
Drake's the one I told you, 15 new players, but coach just won national championships before in Division II. They're a team that I'm excited to watch. And then the one team that
don't be surprised if Yale gives some business to A&M, those little backdoor A&M cuts.
And another team that just has been hot or cold. Yep. I mean, I've watched them play where I went, man, they look great. And I've watched them play, like, the last few times I watched them play, I think they stink. Like, I mean, obviously they don't stink.
What year was it that Yale beat Arizona in the backdoor cut?
That was a while back.
Yeah, it was a while back. That. But that was, I mean, those are the games that stand out, and you remember.
No doubt.
It was like, I mean, and let's not forget, I mean, Duke probably has one of the worst upsets of all time. To
Wagner, right?
Yeah, to Wagner. And then Carolina a couple of years ago, kind of.
Weber State.
Yeah. So, I mean, we look at some of these two. I just think these teams that we're talking about are that much better than everybody else. I just don't see that upset.
Here's the one team that neither one of us picked to get to the Final Four. If you're going to give I get no respect
award. Is that what it is? Because I think for some of these teams, I think the Final Four really this year, there's three teams with a possible. Like you ever play spades, I got three with the possible.
Yeah.
I think there's three teams with the possible, and that possible would be Houston, or Tennessee. But, you know, I really just think those three teams are playing that much better than everybody else right now.
Here's the team that's playing great basketball. They're number one in the country on defense. They have a Hall of Fame coach who's as good as any coach in this tournament, if not the best coach in this tournament. That's St. John's. And both of us have them losing. I think I'm losing to Texas Tech, and I think you have them.
I am losing to Missouri.
So neither one of us even got them going to the Elite Eight. But they're a team that plays tough basketball. They play great defense. They have good guard play. They have big guards too, big guys. And again, they've got the best coach left in the tournament or in the tournament, and neither one of us have them going that far. So if you're going to take, and again, I don't know what their odds were, but they to me are a team that if you're going to put some money on a team winning the whole thing, there's at least a reason why when you look at number one, they're really good. Number two, they're playing great basketball. And number three, they've got a great head coach who has rebuilt that program in 2 years.
Yep.
And didn't necessarily do it with NIL money and all these things. But they're a team that I'm excited to watch. And again, hopefully they play Arkansas in that round two, the Calipari Patino.
If you were looking at what Vegas says,
yep,
they would be the lowest ranked two seed. Or the two seed that has the least chance to go the furthest. They're the eighth seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
By Vegas standards. Now they're a two seed here. I don't know where you would fall in line with where they would rank as far as the two seeds goes. Like who's the fifth seed? Who's the best two seed? Who's the worst two seed?
I would have them rank the fourth two seed. I think Michigan State, Alabama, and Tennessee are all better than should be higher.
Well, that's where Vegas is.
Yeah, I would.
So they're the eighth. They're the eighth place team.
Yep.
In this tournament, and Texas Tech is the 10th place team. So
they're
the second, third, right behind Maryland. Maryland is right behind St. John. So
Maryland, by the way, and Texas Tech were two of the KenPom teams, two of the nine that we brought up that are in that nine team group. That 96% of the teams that fit those requirements have won the national championship.
That's right.
So you know it'll be interesting. Maryland and Texas Tech. Neither one of us have them going very far either. I mean, heck, Maryland, I've got losing the second round in this bracket. But they are two of the teams of the nine teams that if you follow the KenPom and you follow the last 20 years would be in that 96th percentile group to win the national championship. And we have neither of them going that far. St. John's, I believe, was also in that group, but it was because they were number one in defense because they weren't in the top 30 in offense. So I forget exactly how that number broke down.
Yeah, they were outside the 30. That's the only reason that they weren't in there, but they were number one in defense for sure.
Florida was in there.
Yep.
Duke was in there.
Yep.
Houston was in there.
Yep.
Auburn was in there, right?
So Auburn was not in
Alabama,
there.
Alabama, I think, was in there over Auburn.
Alabama
right?
was in there.
So Auburn would be the one that we had
Auburn
in
was
that
not
wasn't
in, there.
In there. So,
and that might be the reason why you start looking at these elite teams, mm-hmm. you know, when they get down to this cream of the crop, who have they lost to? They've lost to the elite teams. Yep. They've lost to Duke.
Yep.
They've lost to Florida.
Yep.
And they've Alabama. Lost to Alabama.
Tennessee.
And Tennessee. Those are their five losses, right? So you look at their five losses, they're all teams that are in the KenPom.
Yep.
In front of them. So, I mean, to the point of that is I don't know why they're number one, and maybe that's all the hype because the player of the year. Maybe it's because they like Bruce Pearl a lot and they're afraid that they're hoping he's going to slip up again on national TV. that's the one team to me, that really, I think might just be a little bit overhyped.
Let me ask you final question. We both have watched the NCAA tournament since we were little.
Mm-hmm.
I've got great memories now, not only with my father, but, my kids and you the same. Give me one or two memories of the greatest moment you can remember when watching the NCAA tournament. And let's exclude the national championship. Let's talk about just upsets. Because I know right off the top of my head.
I know number one. It's not even close.
Who is it?
It's when Duke beat UNLV.
When Duke had Grant Hill.
Leitner, Hurley.
Opened the game,
It's the reason why I became a Duke fan. The number one reason I became a Duke fan was that game. Because I was going to University of Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm in college. I played a lot of pickup basketball. I didn't really play basketball as a team sport and things like that, but you know, I was a good athlete. So I played a lot of basketball with all the guys and a lot of the guys, you know, it's that locker room talk. you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You guys can't do this, you guys can't do that. And that's fine. You know, it was a good, healthy debate. It was just, it's fun talk, and nobody was taking it serious, and nobody's getting their offended or the feelings hurt. It was just, we're going to beat you. And, you know, it's just that culture of basketball, right? And that's what, you know, they're so proud of it, and they should be. They're great, you know, they're great. And, you know, but when Duke was able to make that run and beat them, then they still had to win the championship after that.
Yeah.
But that's when I became a Duke fan, because they're telling me what we can't do, we can't do. So I'm obviously going to tell you what, take the other side just to root against you. So that's where kind of it kind of gave that little healthy rivalry, and it was a lot of fun. It made the game a little bit more fun to watch. And, you know, I could rub it in their face when Duke beat them, because UNLV was arguably the greatest team of all time.
They're unbelievable.
I mean, look at four players that are, you know, just incredible. Stacey Augmon,
Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony.
Yeah, Greg Anthony.
They were great.
I mean, just four. And then, you know, same thing happened the next year with Michigan, you know, and the Fab Five. Yep. So UNLV went on to win that next year, and then Michigan came in, and it was that next group of Duke players. So
there's three that I remember. And we saw almost an identical replay yesterday. I don't know if you watched the Michigan game, but they ran basically the same exact play and won it at the buzzer that UCLA ran with Tyus Edney when he took it the length of the court in about 3.5-4 seconds and laid it in at the buzzer. And that was one of the, and you being on the West Coast probably remember that, but that was one of those moments where I remember just going crazy, couldn't believe it. The other one was the Valpo Bryce Drew, where they came down and he flipped it out to Bryce Drew, who made the three at the buzzer to win with Valpo. And at that point,
probably Massimino?
Well, that was Villanova.
That was Villanova. Did you say?
I'm talking about Bryce Drew when he was at Valparaiso.
Oh, Valparaiso. Okay. Yeah.
And then the last one, though, does involve Villanova, not with Massimino, but was when they beat the Tar Heels a few years ago in the national championship.
That's always a good.
As they came down and flipped it back.
Jay Wright.
Jay Wright gets his national championship. So every year.
I'm going to give you another one. And I'm surprised, you know, being here in this state, that you didn't come up with this, because this is a lot of people's first.
I know you're going to say, go ahead.
Dennis Thompson, or the Tippin.
You're talking about Valvano.
Valvano.
Yeah, well, that with Lorenzo Charles. Yeah, against Houston, with Five Slamma Jamma, Hakeem Olajuwon,
Clyde Drexler. Great basketball team.
Ball goes up a little short. Charles catches it, dunks it for the win. Valvano running around the court trying to find somebody to hug him. You're right. I mean, that one, my mom went to high school with Valvano. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, with your background at NC State, I'm surprised that wasn't the other top.
I guess maybe because as a Duke fan, you try to block. And State's a team that I still kind of pull for anyway. But yeah, that's the great part about March
Madness. I'm going to give you another one. Steph Curry's run, you know, and watching him with Davidson, and almost, you know, pulling the biggest upset maybe ever when they were playing Georgetown, and he single-handedly kept them in that game. But to watch him as a backdoor kid, I knew his dad very well.
Yeah, both of us. Yeah.
We know his dad very well. Great guy, great family. But to watch him do what he did at Davidson, put them on the map and make that run, and they just couldn't stop him. He was incredible in the tournament, and obviously we see why. He's gone on to do amazing things.
And then as he progressed through the tournament, to see these NBA players, like LeBron James sitting courtside, because they had to see this kid. They couldn't believe it. And now Davidson making what I think is a brilliant move, hiring him to be the general manager of their basketball team now, which number one, you know he's going to raise money. Number two, kids are going to have a hard time telling him no to come to Davidson. So I think that's a brilliant move, and one that I think we're going to see a lot of other colleges make. But I don't think there's going to be many that are going to do as well as Steph does. But that's our March Madness breakdown for today. We'll get back with you Friday live for the Virgin Hotel Sportsbook. We're excited about it.
Be a lady.
Yeah, hopefully we come back with more money than we go there with.
That's always a win. If I come back there with the same amount that I left with, that's a win.
That's a win. Yeah. And but we're looking forward to it again. Virgin Hotel, if you're going to be in Vegas on Friday, we'll be broadcasting live there. Come see us. And hopefully when you're filling your brackets out, we helped you a little bit today.
Yeah, we're going to be in the sports book over there and doing a little show there, having a great time and enjoying some of their festivities that they have there. And if you've never been to Vegas during March Madness, it's really one of the top three times to go to Vegas.
It's great. And if you fill out your brackets in the meantime, feel free to post them on our social media. We'd love to see them. Get a little bragging rights as the tournament goes on. We'll do the same thing. I know we still may have a few tweaks to go before the games actually begin.
I don't know if you could read mine. I have to redo this.
Well, we're going to have Dylan type these bad boys out so anyone can read them. But thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you Friday live from the Virgin Hotel.